Joseph.
Welcome to the Wicked Radio Network.
Welcome to Angela's Awesome Podcast.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Angela.
Here we go. Here we go again. I'm Angela Freeman, and we're podcasting from Central Idaho.
Yeah.
Where all the awesome people live. Where all the people who think they're awesome live. Whether or not that's true, left to be decided.
Happy 1 year, by the way.
Happy 1 year. I know we didn't even talk about that. Congratulations to us. And thank you to all of our listeners.
And thank you for everyone that has participated. You know, more than just listened, you know, that has sent us messages on Twitter and Facebook and messages saying that, you know, something hit home with them or it helped them and that kind of stuff. Because that's once again, where's
my... Sound effects out in full force today. That's
we're not in the studio. Oh, speaking of studios.
Here we go.
Well, I sold a ton of stuff, which
good job. That's exciting.
Which will tie into our topic actually today. Now that I'm thinking about it, and I was able to now upgrade some things, and we all know what happens when we upgrade computers. You know, things don't work. You actually have to maybe open up a manual or two.
Oh my God, not the manual.
Can you believe it? Can you believe it? I actually had to open up the manual and read it. But so that's partially why our episode, bonus episode, became a little delayed. And part of it was just me having a busy week, which was great. I had a great week, accomplished a lot, but it was just busy, you know, that kind of a thing. But
We're just happy you released it.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is going to be the 52nd episode because we actually did skip 1 week.
I know. I can't believe that. Yeah. How could we even have possibly did?
I know.
You're the most consistent. I'm always like, oh, I don't know. I'm amazed at us. I'm so proud of us. Way to go.
Yeah. Once again. Yeah. So, and thank you to...
There can never be too much applause.
No, there really can't be. Yeah.
Right,
and
right.
Thank you to the Tangent Bound Network for taking us on and the Wicked Radio Network. And Dev, and thanks to all the other podcasts, Snake Oil Comics, and you know, Dark Angels and Pretty Freaks, and Pittsburgh Nerd, of course, and you know, the list goes on. Who have all we've had some feedback, or we just in our interactions have, you know, like Ryan from Green Up, or you know, there's so many of them. How could I forget the Crazy Life? Brian and Tony from Salty Language.
How could you forget?
How can I forget the Crazy
Don't
Life?
Don't forget
that's
anything.
That's our sister show.
Yes, it is.
Oh,
guess what?
Anyhow.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I have a huge... Sorry, everybody. Oh. Sharon just got home. I'm going to save it for next week because I actually have a whole bunch of stuff written down and I just haven't done anything because of where... I brought up the whole pleasure, eating for pleasure or for necessity, that kind of a thing. And we had a ton of, just for all of you who aren't watching, Sharon and Angela are making faces at each other. And it's hilarious.
We're totally listening to you, Hanno.
This is great.
Sharon and I are going to Mexico.
Yes. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about Cancun. Say hi to everybody, Sharon.
Hola. Hello, everyone.
Hola. We might have to Skype from Mexico on that podcast. Hola.
That'll be fun. Cancun. Ooh. Anyhow, I'll get back to the food for pleasure thing next week because we had an awesome, rousing Twitter exchange on that, and I learned a ton. I learned so much, and once again, that's also another big thank you because every time, it's funny how when something controversial comes up, that's when I learn the most. because I want to find out. I want to find out, you know, how I feel about this. I want to get the information. I want to learn something. And so I learned a lot. So that's another big thank you.
And I just have to say, what an open-minded guy you are to be like that instead of thinking you know everything about everything.
Oh, I do not.
I don't either.
I do not.
And isn't it interesting, the more you know, the more you're like, wow, there's more to know.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm one of those kind of I'm a gut check kind of guys. Like I have my gut feeling off of something based on my experience. And then I am a researching mofo.
Yeah.
I'm just,
that's great, though.
You know, I'm not really, you know, if I think about it, it's like, I don't really have an education. You know, I really don't, but I love finding out about stuff. So I go read and I go look things up and, you know,
you didn't go to college? You went to college.
I did 2 years at. I got a liberal arts degree and that was it. Yeah. I went back to school to get my 4-year degree and I got into the line of work I do today, and it was so satisfying. You know, so what I was going to do is I was transferring to a 4-year school, and I got into the work I did today and I do today, and I went, "You know, this is really satisfying, but I want to at least accomplish something." So I went back and did whatever I needed to do to get an associate's degree and just say that I accomplished something. So I had read this from a dean of our little community college, who said, you know, if you can, don't just transfer. You don't just transfer, get the associate's degree. And so you can say that you did something, that you have something there. And it's a nice little, like a springboard then onto your bachelor's, so that 4 years doesn't seem like so far away. And, and so I went with that. So before I transferred on to another school, I stuck around at the community college and got the associate's degree and went, you know, I'm good. I love doing building maintenance. I love fixing things. It, you know.
Cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's such an interesting little story. Well, and I mean, it's so interesting to hear you say I needed to know I did something, because it's, you know, it used to be such a deal, like you had to have this degree and you had to have this whatever. And there's a lot of people that are getting their education in other ways now, because going into debt to get a major degree doesn't guarantee that you're going to have a job that you like.
Well, that was it.
Isn't that interesting? Yep. I mean, and it's so, and I mean, how long ago is that? Like, it's only getting worse. Like, it used to be, you go to college, you come out of college, and there's going to be a job waiting for you. That is just not true now.
And I think
you have to be more creative, and you have to have all these other things, and going into huge debt isn't necessarily the best route for everybody. I mean, it's certainly not saying it doesn't work for people, and I think higher education is important, but you can definitely educate yourself in a lot of different ways that are less formal that still count. I think.
Well, that was the thing is the guys I worked with, you know, and this started as a summer job, and the carpenter at the condo place, he quit, and the facilities manager said, you know, does anybody want to do this job? And I was just like, and of course, nobody thought anyone would say yes, because everyone there was either finished or finishing up a 4-year degree at a very nice private university in or college or whatever you want to call it. It was called Dominican College in San Rafael. And what was wild is almost all these guys had, they were either English lit majors or art history majors or some sort of a liberal arts degree. And every single one of them was going to go on to another school because there was no work for what they, you know what I mean? They were going to go on and get, you know, because it wasn't until they were almost done that they're just like, well, I don't really want to do this, because they did the whole out of high school boom. And I had taken my sweet time. I mean, I had not rushed through anything. So I was a little bit older than them. And, you know, I saw one guy was going to go to helicopter. He was amazing. He had a business degree. He had a business administration degree with a minor in Japanese language, because he wanted to go and, you know, do big business. Right. And after having a little bit of life, he went, you know what? I want to fly a helicopter and rescue people.
Cool.
And that's what he does today. He went to another school, and that kind of opened my, and one guy with the English lit degree, he went to become a nurse, and not just any nurse, a neonatal critical care nurse, which is, that's some brutal stuff there. I mean, talking about, you know, trying to save dying babies, basically. And that's talk about passion. But he was also the one guy that said, well, you can't be happy unless you make at least six figures. And I was like, oh God, you know, it's like, and then one guy started.
Thank God that's not true.
No. So right. One guy went on to actually started his own business as a carpenter. And he was the guy that was actually surprised that I wanted to stay on. But I found something my whole life. I've taken stuff apart my whole life.
Yeah. And you're good at it.
Yeah. And that's I wasn't good at it until I learned how to put it back together.
Well, that's helpful.
Yeah.
We do appreciate that. That's super great.
But what happened is, you know, where I went to school, you got directed towards university. No one ever said, hey, cause across the bay, we had oil refineries. I could have gone and done become a union pipe fitter or an electrician or whatever. But at my school, you didn't get directed towards a trade school. Nobody said, you know, go become an auto mechanic and make crap loads of money fixing computer cars today. You know, that wasn't it. So it was go to school. And I felt lost. I was in school. I was going to become a math major. You know, I'd started with one thing and decided, you know what, I'm going to go and, you know, I had a great teacher that got me really into math. I was going to be a math major, but it never felt right. At one point, I wanted to be an accountant. And it's like, can you see me sitting in an office all day long, no. crunching numbers? Yeah. No freaking way. So I feel grateful that I think I found my calling.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, yeah.
Well, you did because you're happy with it. And now you live here. I mean, it's hard to beat that.
And who knew that this was going to happen, that I would get this opportunity to, you know, get, and it was hard. I'll tell you, the hardest thing to do is to be in a maintenance type building trade when the .com explosion was happening in the late 90s, because everyone was making tons of money. And there was a lot of construction going on. If you were building houses, you made a lot of money. But me, just being Mr. Fix-It guy, going, hey, I like my weekly paycheck, you know, just playing it safe, it was kind of hard. You know, I wanted to go chase the money also. But I decided that, you know, if things go bad, because I did not know, I figured, you know, everyone always has to have a toilet fixed. So, you know, and that's what happened. I mean, basically everything crashed down and I still had a job. And then I came up here. And once again, and this was an up move. I mean, I'm very fortunate where I work, and they take very good care of us. And a year after moving up here, we had the, you know, the Great Recession.
Yeah.
And once again, wow. I still had a job. So, you know, I've done, this is what's crazy, as I've been employed by two employers for 25 years. That's unheard of.
That is crazy.
The first one was 15 years, and this one is almost 10 now. It'll be 10 next year. So, yeah.
Okay. So right. Let's have a podcast where we have our topic today, yes. Shall we? As opposed to last podcast.
By the way, thanks for all the feedback on that. People really dug it.
They did?
Yeah. We had a lot of great feedback.
Do we need to rethink having a topic?
I think every once in a while, we just need to wing it. Yeah. We had a lot of great feedback. It was really cool.
Well, that's awesome. All right, but we do have a topic today, and that is sort of the point of the podcast, is to share with you all what we find to be inspiring to make life a little more awesome. Tips, tools, little tricks, mind, body, nutritional strategies, dynamic eating psychology strategies, an eating psychology coach. We talk about fitness. And then we talk about stuff that has to do with living life sober, since we're both sober and we bring that little tidbit to the table. So today's topic, everybody, today's topic is called being dragged. Being dragged. We're going to basically talk about that little saying that you all have heard, I'm sure, even if you have not darkened the doors of recovery groups, it's around that saying that says, let go and let God. Doo-doo. So we're going to talk a little bit about letting go today. And one of the things about letting go is, in Chinese medicine, the fall, there's five seasons in Chinese medicine. They consider it goes winter, spring, summer, late summer, fall. So we're officially in fall. And there's a lot of things that go along with these seasons, energies, and they have all these things that they kind of talk about to describe what's happening. And basically, one of the things about fall is it's a time of grieving. And it's a time, and grieving basically goes along with our topic of letting go, because those two things are interconnected. Like, you let something go, often there's a grieving process. And most of us know, from hearing it from friends, from reading about it somewhere, from having someone on a podcast talking about letting things go, that it's important to let things go, because not letting go can cause a lot of pain. And hence the second saying, which is, let go or be dragged.
That's my favorite.
You know, it's Rob's favorite too. And I think that might be a guy thing. You guys can really relate to being dragged or something. I don't know.
Because, well, you know what? It is a good question. I don't know why, but I can totally relate to it. I can, and I, maybe it's that masculine thinking of I'm just going to hold on. I'm going to hold on because that's what men do. We stick in there. We stick it out. And then you look back and you realize, oh my God, I was just getting dragged along the whole time. You know, like, it was more punishment if I'd had just let go. And any of us that have decided to, while water skiing, hold on to the rope and not let go.
Oh, yeah. You really know about that.
Oh, we all know what that feels like. It's like, yeah. Let go, you dummy.
So letting go. So that's one big reason, you know, to let go, because the feeling of being dragged doesn't feel good. The feeling of getting pulled behind the boat, you know, feeling like you're going to drown doesn't feel good. So we get that in principle, right? We get letting go is important, but sometimes actually being able to let go is yet another thing. And I think there's a couple of things that were super set up against us letting go. And I think one of them is that we live in a society that has a real scarcity consciousness. Like, we have a lack consciousness as a society. As a group, we tend to think that there's just not enough. There's not enough money. There's not enough time. Do any of the women that are listening to this have enough shoes? You know, there's things that we have this thing where there's just never enough. And this is in the blog, but I was reading about Brené Brown puts it like this. Like, we go to bed, the last thing we think about before we go to sleep is, I didn't get enough done. And the first thing we think of in the morning is, I didn't get enough sleep. So coming from this scarcity consciousness, we're wired to think we need more. So when you have that consciousness, like, I need more, it's hard to let go, right? I mean, I just spent all this work getting all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. And you know, something about it feels like a step back, and we can't have that. We need to hold on to what we have. That because I know for myself, sometimes, well, I think it's more in my past where my value sometimes had to do with an object in my life, per se. Maybe it was something growing up that I felt that, you know, this is something that I always want to have. This says that I'm part of the club. I'm right there now. You know, I've got right the credit card. I've got the car, the home, the mortgage, the, you know, whatever it is. And we feel like once we've attained that if we lose it, that somehow now is a reflection on us. And I can't think of, and especially with our recession we had, how many people who lost their homes felt like they were failures. And all they were is they just made the best business decision that they could at the time. And it just so happens that whatever it was, 5 years later, 8 years later, some people 1 year later, that it just turns out that their business decision was a bad business decision. But at that time, then you know other. But it's hard to feel like they didn't, you know, they failed somehow.
Right.
And so I get that. And so I think we have a lot of this tie of our self-esteem is tied into things that, you know, really don't have anything to do with our self-esteem, you know, really shouldn't, I guess I should say. But they do, because it's society, you know, it's kind of who we are.
Yeah, it's the way we were raised. I mean, definitely. You feel like, I mean, people, the one thing that was comforting to me about the whole thing, you know, with my job shifting so much and the whole, I mean, being so upside down with our mortgage and whatever is, I mean, it was just happening to so many people that it was impossible to be like, okay, this is just on me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I take responsibility for making bad decisions. Don't get me wrong. But when it happened to so many people, it's not like people, it's not like everybody that it happened to was like, Jesus, you guys are idiots. You know, you should have seen this coming. Like, people didn't see it coming.
Yeah, and they couldn't.
No.
No.
But I agree with that. I agree with you. I think that that's part of it. So we have this scarcity thinking. We have this, the flip side of that is we've got to do more, be more, have more, because we have this huge shame based thing. Like, if you're not, you know, if you don't have a body that looks like what you're supposed to look like, then you must be lazy. If you don't have enough, you know, if you don't have a nice enough car, then and you don't have a great job, you must be lazy. If you're not taking care of yourself, then you must be lazy. I mean, it's insanity. Like, these bars that we've set for ourselves are crazy. And yeah. Most people can't reach them. And when they can't, they think, oh, I'm not trying hard enough. So we dig in and go harder. And oh, my God.
I got a great example of that. How about the old class reunion?
Oh,
you don't want to go to the class reunion. You know, like, I'm not going to go because I don't want to have to explain that I've been, you know, whatever it is. And I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
When it's unfortunate, but we actually think that that everyone's judging us, you know?
Yeah. Well, and
we're all,
they are.
And if they are, well, yeah, well, you know my opinion on that. I don't care. But
well,
it's,
I know, and I agree with you.
It's,
but
we're,
I mean,
judging
a lot of
ourselves.
People do care because they get their, you know, their self worth is tied up in
what other people think of them.
What other people think, and I mean, I don't know. I don't actually care, but I don't want to be around it.
Well, it's just that thing is that we're judging ourselves. And I think that's one of the things that happens with all of this is we judge ourselves. We put, you know, as much as we, you know, it's easy to blame society and culture and blah, blah, blah. But we are our own worst critics. Typically, we're the ones that set those bars, like, you're not enough, or, you know, like, geez, you know, I look at my dad, you know, so that's the other one is, you know, some of us look at our parents or our brothers or our sisters, and we go, we look at them and how can I live up to that? You know,
right.
But do you have to, you know, do you have to live up to that?
Well, I agree. And I'm not blaming society, but I am saying that there are things that shape the way we are, whether we like it or not. And to be aware of that, we can help become more of our own shapers, like, you know, not being quite as influenced by that. I mean, I think we live in a pretty good society compared to, like, a lot of places. Don't get me wrong. But I think that it's good to notice that, hey, this is a trend that's happening. A lot of us are influenced like it. We're not living by ourselves. We're not on an island. We're completely bombarded by different media messages. You know, that kind of stuff can sting. And I think even if you are super, you know, aware of it and super, like, I don't care, you know, it's still, a lot of people don't have that freedom yet.
No, prior to my recovery, ultimately, my recovery was started with alcohol, but my true recovery was from myself and my problems. And one of my problems was I did, you know, want all that stuff. I had low self-esteem. I did, you know, when I was not feeling confident and, you know, and there was no better time to feel not confident as when, you know, you had a falling out with somebody, or,
right,
you know, especially if you did something dumb when you were hammered, but, but it was in those moments where I was at, you know, where I was really, I would beat myself up and I would get jealous and that was the one thing that I really wasn't happy. I felt like it was never enough, you know, that I needed to, and that was part of, for me, that was getting dragged. And I just had no idea how much I was dragging myself.
Right.
You know, until I learned a few things and just went, wow, okay, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's great because, I mean, bringing it back to getting dragged, that's one of the things. Like, you may be thinking, well, maybe I do need to let some stuff go, but how do I know what to let go and what to keep? And, you know, this is a great time. So this season is supporting us in letting go of things. And one of the ways, as Hino just was pointing out, that you can kind of start to look at what maybe needs to be let go in order to give you some more freedom is to really tune into where you're being dragged. Like, to just spend some time, particularly if you can get outside where the season's actually changing and be in nature where the leaves are letting, you know, the trees are letting go of the leaves and things are going into a state of decay and moving into a different stage, and just, you know, put it out there to the universe, like, what's happening? And you can start by just thinking into, where am I being dragged? Because a lot of people, you know, I don't know. I mean, I certainly get dragged around about some of the stuff that I've got going on. And then, you know, it's helpful for me to be going slow enough to be like, wow, that's just not working. Like, you know, sometimes we grow out of friendships and they just aren't working anymore. We need to reevaluate boundaries with family members, or we need to reevaluate how, if our job's working for us, or we, do we need to kind of slowly start inching our way into a different career or a different time thing? Or, you know, maybe this exercise program isn't working for me anymore. It's worked beautifully, but, you know, we get in our routines and things that have worked in the past. And then some, they don't necessarily, most of the time, they don't just immediately stop working, but they slowly kind of stop working and we're not really paying attention, or we're really attached to something out of a sense of loyalty, or it's the way it's always been. And then we don't necessarily let it go and move on to something else.
Yeah, we fear the change. We don't want to take a step back. We've already put in so much time, or we've, you know, I've known this person for so long, or
right, they need me.
Yeah, or whatever it is, you know. And, you know, ultimately, I mean, it's funny because I've been talking so much already about self-esteem, you know, my own personal self-esteem. And in a lot of ways, it all comes back to, in a way, to how do we value our happiness? You know, right. How much do you value your happiness in life?
Yeah. Or how you said the other day, like, how free do you want to be?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. How much freedom do you want?
How much freedom? And the interesting thing is just coming at this from the eating psychology standpoint is, a lot of times not letting go of things that need to be let go of can show up as unwanted symptom or behavior. So overeating, chronic dieting, like, it's sometimes much easier to just be like, oh, if I just lost weight, everything would be okay. Rather than looking at, like, this job's not working for me. I can't figure something else out. It's going to be too hard. There's nothing else I'm qualified to do. These things, and they can show up as, but really the problem is I'm fat.
Yeah, or
and I just need to lose 10 pounds. So these things can land in, you know, issues with our body, issues with, or, you know,
overworking.
Overworking.
You know, I don't want to deal with this, so I'm just going to stay at work longer. Or
exactly.
Or I don't want to deal with this, I'm going to go run. And
right. Right.
Now you're over-exercising, for sure. You know.
I mean, this kind of thing. So, you know, this is just kind of another little tool for the old toolbox, you guys, about letting go. So looking where you've been dragged. So it's interesting to, like, start trying to kind of connect the dots, because a lot of times the dots aren't necessarily, like, super linear, like, this is affecting that. Like, sometimes you have to be more creative, and that's what we're trying to shed some light on, just by saying, you know, sometimes you've got to look at it differently. But, you know, the one thing, particularly around body size and you've tried to lose weight 8,000 times, you know, maybe stop trying to lose weight for a little while and look at different realms. Where, how are my relationships? How happy am I in my job? How much do I love where I live? How much time am I getting playing? How much time am I spending on the couch watching TV? You know, and just start looking at the other areas, because those things can affect how well you're doing what you think is your major goal. Right.
Yeah, and that's where, and writing is one of the best ways to get there.
I mean, totally.
Really is to start writing this stuff down. You know, writing. Oh, yeah. I just thought about some. Never mind. I was just about to say, and sitting down with somebody like a coach, or, you know, that really good friend that can sometimes see things that you can't. And the reason that made me remind is I'm supposed to go meet mine when he gets off of work.
Yeah, it's really great to have. I mean, that's what coaches are. That's pretty much, to me, the definition of a coach. A coach is going to help you look at things and help you connect the dots and look at things through a different lens so that you can be like, wow, let me try this differently. So hopefully you guys are on board with letting go. And then we want to talk about today just a few specifics on letting go. Because, you know, it's I remember this when I first got into recovery, you know, that people would be like, you come in there and something would just be twisting you up, right? You're just like, oh, I can't believe that I did this. You know, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Or I can't believe that he did this. Oh, I can't believe he did this. Or I can't believe that this is happening, or whatever it is. And then you hear everybody say, well, just let it go. And you're thinking to yourself,
yeah.
I mean, at least I used to be like, you're right. I need to let this go. And then you're like, okay, I'm going to let it go. And then the next thing you know, it's back in your head again. It's like a broken record and you can't take the needle. It keeps repeating. So talking about a couple of things, you know, actual practical tools to actually let things go. We just have a couple of these here. We went through this in the workshop that we did on Tuesday. So first of all, you need to know, you know, first of all, identify where you're being dragged. So we've talked about that. Like, it's important to know, to acknowledge there's even a problem, right? I mean, we got to at least know that. And then, you know, from there, trying to let go of any attachment you have to the solution that you think needs to happen, particularly if you've tried the same solution every time, you know, okay, we know this is a problem. I'm overeating every night. I'm super unhappy about it. I've, you know, put pictures on the fridge. I've like chain lock, you know, put a lock on the fridge at a certain time. I've done all these things. It's just not working. Okay, fine. So you're convinced that this needs to be addressed. So one tip to letting it go is, like we just said, stop looking at it in exactly the same way. Like, shift the spotlight from, I just need to stop eating what's in the fridge, into what else in my life's not working. Okay. So that's one practical tip. Like, just stop attacking it from the same way. Try something different. You have to be convinced that this is something that needs to be addressed. Big, big part of this, big part of letting things go, is to be present so you can know what's happening. Because oftentimes when we're being dragged, I mean, your first instinct's not to let go. It's to hold on tighter and try to fix it tighter and to get wound up about it. And a lot of times when we're not letting things go, it's because we're way out in the future. Like, oh my God, what's going to happen next? Or we're way in the past. Like, I can't believe that happened. I can't believe it's happening again. I can't believe it's happening again. So cultivating a practice of being present is really helpful for letting things go. Yeah, even though that's not the actual thing,
it's
right?
Fear of losing what we have, or fear of not getting what we want.
Both out in the future, you know, yeah. Past and future. Yeah. Losing something I've worked so hard for. You know, I've been in this friendship for 10 years. How can I possibly let this go? I've got so much time invested. And I'm not saying that it's not worth working on. It's just that sometimes we have to be willing to be like, we have to be willing to just say, this isn't working for me right now. I need to take a time out in a healthy way, instead of, you know. So cultivating presence by breathing, going slower, scheduling time between events. So having a slow, relaxed lunch before you zip into your afternoon can be helpful in being present. Stop multitasking all the time. You know, that's a super challenging thing. Give your brain a break and just do one thing and be there for that one thing. So practicing presence can help you. And the other thing about being present is, you know, if let's say that you're in a job that's not working very well, and every night you come home, you're miserable, and every night you come home and the first thing you do when you get home is you crack a beer. Three beers in, you don't really care about the job. Five beers in, whatever, you go to bed. The next day you're like, oh, here we go again. But then you manage to make it through to the beers. There's nothing wrong with having beers, but you're basically unable to be present with how miserable you really are, right? You're doing something to alter your state of mind. You know, that's not going to help you find solutions. You need to be real present and in your body, getting off work and be like, okay, what are other options? What are other ways to look at this? Either learning how to be in your job in a way that supports you better, or shifting into something else. Yeah. Same thing with relationships, same thing with food, same thing with all these things. These things all have just, they manifest and they get our attention in different ways. So being present is key to treating yourself and to letting things go. You gotta be in your body.
Yeah, you gotta have that, until you get that clarity, that whatever that is, you know, this is why sometimes these situations are very difficult to figure out, because you don't have clarity. You are actually, the whole situation or your reaction to it is clouding any sort of rational thought or real thought about it. You can't even really tell. And until you have that moment, you don't even realize that you might be sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah, right.
You know, because you just been dealing with it.
I mean, we have to be present for that instead of just reacting.
Yeah.
You're right. It's so being present, so practicing presence. That's tip number two around actual ways to let go. When you start, if you can come at it from a place of presence, when you're coming into the behavior and when you notice that it's happening again, then one of the things that you can do is you can actively choose to do it differently. So particularly if you're always trying to stop it in the same way, try some different strategies. So for example, I know one of the things that I'm working on letting go of right now is, the way that I talk about and do work. Like, I'm a recovering workaholic. It comes up for me all the time. I'm definitely in a space where I can get real heavy about it. Like, oh, I got to do this. So when I notice that I'm doing that, in order to do that differently, when I notice that I'm becoming heavy about it, when I'm trying to make shit happen instead of allow things in, I need to actively start changing the way I'm thinking. So I have to actively choose to think differently. So when I notice, I'm like, uh-oh, I just had to pay all these bills. I'm totally freaking out about it. When I notice that that's happening, I can stop, take a breath, and just be like, okay, how do I really want to feel right now? How can I treat this differently? And I can start, I have my new mantra is I live in a state of faith. Things are coming in. I don't have to make it happen. I have to relax, take a breath, do less, and just allow it to come in. And so when I notice that I'm getting into that that totally familiar old behavior, like, wow, I need to get busier. I'm going to jump in and do this. I can, as soon as I notice I'm jumping in, I can be like, nope, not jumping in. Going to do something totally different. I'm going to take the dogs for a walk. I'm going to get outside and take some breaths. I couldn't be busier right now. I'm going to take, 20 minutes out of my incredibly too busy, can't get everything done, and go outside and get some fresh air and just let it settle. Because the truth is if you actively choose to do it differently, that's where you start to break up these old patterns. But you have to catch yourself. So you've got to be present in order to do that. And I'm not saying it's easy, but, you're going to the fridge. You do it every night for the fourth beer, 3 works, 4 makes you hungover. You got to do something differently. You're going to go outside. You're going to pick up the phone and call someone. You're going to turn off the TV and go to bed early. What are you going to do differently? And you got to kind of have a plan in place. And it could be as simple as I'm going to think about this differently.
Well, I'll tell you, the one thing that usually happens at those moments is there is no thinking. I thought that was interesting that, you're going, okay, you need to think about this differently. And when I reflect on my past, when I was doing that behavior, I was doing everything I could to do no thinking whatsoever. It was to sit on the couch and it's to completely avoid whatever it is. It's to zone out. And talk about another behavior pattern we've learned from a very young age. Zone out. I need to zone out. And it's usually zoning out with something to distract us. And the television has been and still can be my number one, among many other, other various quote unquote tools, like sitting on the computer and shopping, not necessarily buying, but spending hours going through whatever site you want, eBay, making, putting stuff on my watch list, or Amazon, putting stuff in my wish list, and just spending hours doing that. And you know what I'm doing when I'm doing that? I am not thinking. And that's why I do it. You know, it's I just don't want to, you know, usually there's something else I need to be doing and I don't want to do it. And that's another one for me, as a procrastinator, that's right. One of my biggest let go or be dragged is, right. Oh man.
Well, I mean, I agree with you and I'm not opposed to zoning out. I think being present all the time is great. I think that's like recovery 5.0. That's not 2.0 or 3. That's like out there.
It really is hard.
I'm not opposed to zoning out. I'm just saying that if it's happening so much that you're having consequences.
Yeah.
And that's why we led into it by saying practicing presence.
Yep.
Like you have definitely become more aware of how often you choose to zone out, and you've actively made different choices around changing that.
I had to.
You know what I mean?
You had to
because you got to a place where you were like convinced, which was the first part of this. You were convinced there was a problem. You're practicing presence. You're watching this happen. I mean, it's. I'm not saying it's easy because it's not.
It's
and
not.
I'm not saying that. That you're always, and that's why I'm also saying you're not going to always catch it before you're doing it. But as you're doing it, if you're practicing presence, at some point, you can start to become more aware in it. I mean, I actively make the choice to have TV time. At the end of the day, it helps me unwind. It's story. It's just the way it is right now. I'm not worried about it. If I'm doing it every night, all night long, then I get concerned and then I'm like, what needs to change?
Yeah, that was.
And good. I don't necessarily interrupt the pattern during the session, but I need to. But when I somehow come out of the TV coma, I'm like, okay, what's going on? And rather than trying to vow I'm not going to watch TV, what I do is I first of all go, how much are you working? How much are you playing? That's the big one for me. How much am I working? How much am I playing? Because usually if I'm working too much and playing too little, I need to watch a lot of TV.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. And that was me with the.
For me.
Yeah. For you. Right? Yeah. For me with the, that was me with those video games.
Right.
But that was something I had to put down completely. I mean, I was just sitting there going, you know what? This is becoming an addiction. This is not me taking, having, you know, sitting down and watching my shows for the week. So like now, my television viewing is, I mean, I'm typically watching something that's saved on my DVR.
Right.
And then that has a different purpose than just flipping through the channels
right.
to see what's on. I actually right. actively sit down and say, I'm going to watch my show. And now I have kind of a pattern. The video game thing was literally plop down, get lost.
Right.
And it started to affect, you know, my relationship. You know,
right.
Sharon wasn't nagging at me. She was
right.
observing something in me.
Right. Right.
And she was trying to let me know. And she was doing it very nicely when I look back at it all. And she was right, but I couldn't see
right.
it. You know, I
right.
thought this was me, you know, relaxing after my day or having my time or whatever. But it I don't know. For me, it was no different than me, you know, drinking and doing other behaviors. It became a kind of an addicting habit.
Right. And we live in a day and age where we have so much stimulation coming in. We're so busy. There's so much that we're asked to do that it's hard to not need that. I mean, and you know, you talk about being procrastinating. I mean, honestly, procrastinating oftentimes is just because we're too tired to deal with something. We don't want to deal with it, but the truth is, and then we kind of beat ourselves up for wanting to do it, but oftentimes we're just plain too tired. Like not a matter of, boy, you're a lazy, you know, jerk. I can't believe you don't care. Like, it's like, no, I've had a really big week. Yes, I would like to get this done. I am just plain tired and just owning it. But when we are like, oh, I'll get to it, and we kind of put it off and we kind of pretend that it's just because we're being lazy or whatever. And I'm not saying it couldn't be that, but just owning it and just being like, okay, I've got to like take some other things off my plate before I can get to this.
And
other times we just have to be like, you know what? Like I had to do errands today. I hate the things I had to do today. I hate running errands. Oh my God. And I didn't feel good. And Rob's like, you want me to do them for you? And I'm like, nope, I'm just going to get them done right now. They're not going to take that long. I'm just going to do it. And I just, you know, put some other things aside. I, you know, whatever. And so I'm not saying that you don't have to do that, but I think more times than not, we beat ourselves up for not getting stuff done. And it's not because we don't want to, or we lack motivation. It's because we lack direction, focus, and we're exhausted.
Yeah. And like you said, the why of it, you know, when you have clarity, you can actually honestly look at the why. And I had that this week where there, you know, I had plans to work on the podcast. You know, I got over my little cold. I was feeling better, and I had a really, really busy day. And it was, here's the funny one. I go to the grocery store and I have food at home. You know, I have everything I can. I got some vegetables. I got some stuff to make a meatloaf. I got everything at home, and I'm on my way home from work, and I go, you know what? I don't feel like making any of that. I go in the store. I go in the frozen food aisle. I grab some, organic pot stickers because that just sounded delicious. I grab the chocolate. You know, I grab the various things, and I'm in line. And a friend of ours, David Fox, he's behind me, and he looks down. And he goes, man, look at that. He's with his wife, and he goes, look at that guy. He's got the chocolate. And I looked at him. I'm like, I am eating all the cookies tonight. And he kind of looked at me funny. And I said, it was a long day, but I stopped myself right away. And I said, but it was a great day. Cause it was, it was a great day. I got so much done. I felt so good, but I knew that this was time to exercise the old choosing muscle and say, tonight is not the night to try to fight through this. Tonight is the night to go. And this is, I think, one of the things with learning about learning how to let go is to grab the small victories and hold on to them. So that day I went, you know what? This is a great day. I'm beat tired, but I'm going to make myself some food that I love to eat. I'm going to sit down and watch my TV shows tonight, and I can worry about the other stuff that I need to get done later. And I went to bed early and I felt good. I woke up the next day and I was ready to go. I didn't beat myself up over it. And we've talked about that with the choosing muscle thing. It's like, I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm going to feel good. And then, you know what? The next day when I got to work on some stuff, then that's the part with me for procrastinating is I do have to take a little baby step and get something done because I know it feels good. And when I do that, and the same thing with any time that I am dragging, you know, when I'm getting dragged in life, if somewhere in there I can make a positive step, a positive choice, and it doesn't have to be big. It can be just anything small where I don't react, I act. Because when I take an action that's for my good, it tends to be as reinforcing of a behavior as the negative stuff, because that's how I'm made up. And I go, hey, yeah, that felt pretty good. Okay, let's try another one, you know, and maybe I'll try another one. And that's one of the, and that's for me, you know, I've talked a lot about my debt. And one of the things I did this year, you talked about being in faith. And that's how I started. I just went, all right, it's going to take me a while to pay this stuff off, and I'm just going to be in faith that it's all going to work out. Well, it started to get to me, and it was still like, okay, what can I do? Well, I just wasn't ready to let go of some things. I just wasn't ready for it. And here's the other thing is I didn't want to talk to anyone about it either. You know, like that whole thing of like, hey, can I have your advice? What do you think I should do? Well, I think you should sell this, and I can't do that. Well, then why'd you ask for my advice? So I just didn't talk to anyone about it. And I didn't go hang out with, you know, I didn't go and talk about, I didn't go to my money meeting and talk to people about it. I didn't go. I'm like, well, what have I got to say? All I'm sitting here is going, yep, I'm in a rut and it's going to take a while, but I'm in faith, you know. But finally it was like, I went in there and I was honest. You know, I just said, I'm like, man, I don't know. I mean, I know it's going to all be all right, but it's kind of starting to get to me a little bit. And it's weird when I open myself up to other people, honestly, for some reason, it's like somebody comes in and pulls something out of my ears that I'm able to hear something I didn't hear before. Like if I just walked in and somebody gave me some advice, I wouldn't have heard it, but by somehow baring my soul a little bit and saying, ouch, it opens me up. And that day I came home and I went into my studio and I went, you know, let's find out if I really do need some of this stuff. And I did what I needed to do. And at the end of it, I got a friend involved and I said, hey, listen to this for me. Does this sound better with or without this? And he's just like, and I'd already decided that it sounded, I'm perfectly fine without it. And he came back and he said, no, I'm hearing this and this. And he basically affirmed what I heard. And I went, okay, everything's going on sale on eBay. And, you know, today I went to FedEx and I went to UPS and I ship stuff out. And I have this great sense of relief now.
Yeah.
I let go of it. And like all these, and I just didn't want it before. I just didn't, you know, I'm like, I'm going to hold on until this fixes itself somehow, you know? And today it's, you know, it's not like, hey, I'm always a pretty half glass full kind of guy, but today it's extra. I mean, it's brimming over because I have a sense of relief that I didn't have before. And I paid some debts off and part of my dental bill, all this stuff. And, you know, it's great.
You know,
but the thing with this is it's always easy for us to talk about it. Anytime someone says, oh, well, you just need to let go of that, you know, or just, you know, anytime we go to someone and we say, you know, I'm having a hard time, especially when it comes to relationships, work, that's a huge one. And someone says, why don't you just go look for another job? Okay. That's easy for you to say. You know, why don't you, you know, there's so much tied in and so much of it, once again, back to self-esteem. There's a lot of self-esteem. There's a lot of fear involved with this stuff. It's not easy. And sometimes it takes some time. Like it took me pretty much all spring and summer to finally go, okay, I know how I can take care of this and be okay.
Right. Well, and you kind of went through the whole thing. Like you have to slowly become convinced that there's a problem. You became convinced you still didn't really want to deal. You have, you know, you've got to get clear about it. You got to be in, you know, I mean, yeah, that's why we're trying to talk about this. I mean, I know you just say, let it go. That's the whole point of this podcast is you're right. It's easy to just tell people that it's a harder thing to do. That's why we're trying to talk about like strategies and tools, but you kind of went through it. And I agree with that. Like sometimes it just takes time and sometimes we have to get in enough pain.
Well, that's the other part. Yeah. Sometimes it just has to hurt enough.
It's got to hurt enough.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And, you know, the other piece, the next step on this is practice. Like, it just takes practice. Like, okay, so I have a little news to report. So I started parasite cleansing again 10 days ago because I've been doing this since May because my head's still not better. I mean, it's better and then it's not better and it's better. And anyway, long story short, I've been doing these cleanses, but I haven't been able to quit sugar and they feed on sugar. So after the first round of cleansing starting in May and going through almost the middle of July, I had another appointment with my guy and he's like, they're better, but you've got to do it again. And you really have to quit sugar. And that's when we did the sugar podcast again.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's it. I'm quitting sugar. And then within a week I was like, I can't do this. This is driving me crazy. I'm overeating because all I want is sugar. I'm just going to do a little bit of sugar and be done with it and just do the cleanse again. So I did that starting in July until like, where are we? We're in October. So like middle of September. So then my head was better, but it still wasn't great. And I was like, okay, what am I going to do? And I finally got in enough pain where I was like, all right, I've got to try it one more time. I can't even go try another strategy until I've done this one all the way. But here's the deal. Day 10 with no sugar, except for a little bit of fruit here and there, which is nothing short of a miracle for me. But part of it is just because I had to keep doing it not that well in order to get to a point where I could do it better because it's just taken what it takes. So I remember thinking at the beginning of this, I'm like, are you really going to try this again? And I was like, yeah. I'm going to try it again. And if I can't do it this time, then I'm going to try it again. And if I can't do it that time, then I'm going to try it again till I get it, till I do it. Like you just keep practicing. And now for the first time since May, I'm actually doing it, you know, really well. I mean, it's not perfect, but it's really well. And I'm hoping, please God, let this be the last of the parasite cleansing. These things are a bummer, man. They're super big drag to get rid of, but my point of that whole little story is you just pick yourself up and you try it again. You cut yourself a break for not doing it really well, and then you just do it again. You just try it again. You know, if you wouldn't have... There you go. But it takes practice. I mean, nobody's perfect. The thing is that nobody's perfect, because once you get, I'll guarantee you, once I get through this parasite thing and I don't have to worry about the sugar anymore, you know, I think that's part of the reason why it's easier to not do sugar is I think I've killed enough of those things off that I'm not having the physiological cravings. Like, they're just not as bad.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it. So isn't that interesting? And then that's a whole nother thing, like, I'm kind of psyched that I've had to go through this, because I think this is going to be really helpful for information to somebody at some point when they're like me and they're just like, I've done everything to quit sugar, I can't do it. Like, this is finally, I think this is finally turning the page on it. We'll see. Yeah. More to be discussed at further podcasts. But the whole point of that little rant is, is practice. Just keep trying and try a different way. And I mean, I'm ready. If this doesn't work, I'm certainly going to try another strategy. I felt like for me with this particular case, I haven't done this strategy to its full extent yet, so I can't rule it out.
Yeah, well, that's,
and if it doesn't work, then I'll be on to a different strategy. Don't get me wrong, because we did talk about that earlier, and I do agree with that. But this one feels like, you know, just keep trying.
Yeah.
Okay. Two more things super quick, because we're getting close. I'm sure we're almost over, but number five is make it a priority. Like, you have to be in enough pain that this is important to you. You've got to be able to give it some time and energy. If it's a change that you need to make, if it's something you really need to let go of, I really need to let go of this toxic belief system. I really need to let go of this toxic friendship. I really need to let go of this eating behavior because it's really hurting me. I need to let go of the video games because they're hurting my relationship. Like, then it has to be a priority. You have to be able to give it time, energy, and attention to be able to properly figure out other things to do in its place. And to give yourself enough time, I mean, we all operate better when we're rested, right? So, I mean, I've just been clearing my plate. This thing has been really hard on me to do this cleansing again. I mean, as you know, this is the second Friday in a row. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't even get to Haley, but I'm giving it my full attention and I'm making it a priority and I'm just letting other things go because I don't think it's forever. And I know that I'm hoping this is going to be worth it. So you just have to make it a priority. So that's another part of letting go. Like, you can't just be like, wow, this major thing is causing me a lot of pain. I'm just going to let it go, but I'm going to keep going full speed with everything else in my life. You may not be successful if you're not willing to let other things, you know, lay by the wayside while you're addressing this.
And that's a really hard thing too, is when you know you need to make a change, but the change does require making, you know, not doing some things that you maybe love to do, because it just doesn't work that way. You know,
sometimes it's a bummer. Yeah,
it's really hard to do.
The amazing gift of desperation and pain.
Man, that's true. I mean, that's why the phrase.
The amazing gifts of desperation and pain. I mean, it's, you know, Marianne Williamson talks about this when she talks about the ego. The ego doesn't want us to go into crisis, is what she says. The ego wants us to just be mildly miserable so we don't know anything about it.
Brilliant.
The ego doesn't want us to go into crisis, because when we go into crisis is when we finally get to a point where we hit our knees, you know, figuratively or literally or both, and we say, I'm done. I'm going to make this a priority. I'm going to be more present to figure out what's going on. I'm going to suck it up and sell my stuff. I'm done. Like, the crisis is the huge gift that sucks.
Yeah. Well, that's why they say that old saying, pain is the touchstone of growth.
Totally.
But the thing that I also want to add to that is you don't have to humiliate yourself to find humility.
No, they're not the same thing at all.
You don't have to go down to the point where it hurts that bad. You really don't. I mean, some of us, that's the road we have to take. Heaven knows I had to find that point. I had to that point where I felt like, you know, I'd find, you know, where I was humiliated. But you really don't, you know, that checking that ego a little bit, finding a little bit of humility, which is not the same. It's not humiliation. No. You are not less than. What it is, it's letting go of that false sense. It's false pride. It's you know, it's all of these things that we started this show with, where we feel like, you know, we have this sense of lack, like there has to be more. I have to achieve this. I have to look like that. I, you know, whatever it is, it's when we finally let go of some of that stuff and get some humility. And a lot of that can just be happy where you're at. We talk about that all the time. It's like, hey, if you just start with going like, hey, find the gratitude where you're standing. Find the amazing thing that's underneath at your feet right now.
Right.
What's that beautiful thing that's outside your window right now? You know, even if it's not your ideal place, but I believe me, you can find it. And that could be that little bit of a different touchstone of growth, and you don't have to go to pain, you know?
Right. You know, although most of us have to go to pain.
Yeah. And oh yeah, by the way, I got to give a big to Lady E, who is going for quitting smoking right now.
All right.
Yeah.
Good job.
Talk about one that people typically have to practice.
Totally.
They have to try and fail and try and fail and try and fail. And they usually have to hit some sort of, you know, just this point where I'm like, no more. So I just have to say, good for you, man. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, totally good for you. I mean, you read the books that people write about their experience where they've made huge shifts. They've had huge healings. This didn't come because it was just a great idea. It came because they got desperate, the gift of desperation. It's just the way we operate. And you're right. You don't have to go all the way down to the bottom, but sometimes you do.
Sometimes you do.
I would not be doing this right now if I wasn't in a world of hurt. Let's just call a spade a spade. There's no way. There's no way. Yeah. And I'm proactive. I'm super into like doing healthy stuff, but there's no way. All right. So that's what I've got for like actual practical tips. Oh, well, my last one is enlist support.
Yeah.
Get your people, you know, get your people on board.
That ain't easy either. That is...
When you get your people on board, get people on board that are going to be like, you're doing great. Like, especially because most likely any changes that we make, I mean, you never read a book. I have yet, and I read, this is what I do in my spare time and in my work time, is I'm looking for ways. My big passion is how to help people make sustainable changes. Like, I read books about this, how people change, what stops us from changing, what are all the hangups. This is totally what I'm into. And I've yet to ever read anybody that's written a book that was like, well, I made a decision and it was all linear progress from there. Like, that's not the way it goes. You go up, you go down. You go up, you go down. You go sideways, you go way down. You go back up. It's just the way it goes. Like, we don't have linear recovery that we just start here and then slide our way up. It's like jagged. So you need to find people that are going to be like, you're doing fine. Just start over. You're doing fine. Don't start over right now. Just take a break from it. Yeah, you're doing fine. You know what I mean? Like, don't get people that are going to shake their finger at you. Cross those. Those are the people you let go of. Those are the people you take all these tools and you let go of. That's my take. All right. So let go or be dragged.
Yeah. And thanks everyone for a year of awesome connections and podcasting and everything.
Here's to another year.
Yeah. Thank you, Angela. You've helped me out so much in the last year with my health and well-being. So, yeah.
Yay for us.
And everyone, have a great week.
Have a great week. We'll see you next week.
All right. Bye, all.
All right. Bye.